And with me on the phone right now is Rebecca Labina of the Northwest Missouri State University Small Business and I was almost said Small Business and Technology Development Center, but we've dropped the technology out of the title. It's the Small Business Development Center. Rebecca, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Barry, and thanks for allowing me to call in today.
Well, I'm glad to be able to do it. We always enjoy hearing what you have to say. You bring interesting topics and things that are useful for our small business owners and even employees to know about. And the Small Business Development Center does so much to help so many people, and it's free. I mean, nothing's free, but it was paid for by basically Small Business Administration and your sponsor, your hosting sponsor, Northwest Missouri State University, if I've got that right.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And today we've got some really good news about some funding that came through in the bill that was signed back in D.C. the end of December. And this particular funding is a grant, and it's called the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant. And it is for live venues as well as museums and theaters.
Okay, I could see where this might apply to many facilities and organizations here in St. Joseph.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that I had mentioned it the last time that we were on, or that I was on your program in December, but some more information has came out about it, and I wanted to make sure that kind of the world that listens to your program is aware of it.
All right. Well, what do people need to know?
Okay. So first and foremost, it's available to live venues that have less than 50 employees. So that less than 50 employees is one of the keys that came out, you know, after the fact. They decided to make it specific to under 50 employees, at least for the initial first round. And they have to have been in operation as of February 29th of last year. And they have to show at least a 25% or more gross revenue reduction in one quarter of 2020 compared to the same quarter in 2019. So the people that this could really affect is if you have a bar that has live music and the live music is the principal income, the majority of your income from having, you know, the music come in maybe nightly or several nights a week, then this grant could be open to you. This is also open to museums. It's open to movie theaters. It's open to what would be considered live theaters, so like the Missouri Theater, for example. The St. Joe Symphony could apply for this. And several of the museums in town would be able to apply for this. And the beauty is that you don't have to be a for-profit. You can be a for-profit, a non-profit, or even owned by a municipality, a city.
I wondered about that when I heard the title of this, the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant, and mm-hmm. I wondered if how that would have, as you know, I'm with the St. Joseph Symphony, and we have, I don't want to take time presenting our case or anything, but it's an example of an organization that has seen the decreased revenue, gross revenue, decreased in gross revenue that you're talking about. So I suppose that we would be, and we, along with a whole bunch of other arts organizations and other organizations here, nonprofits, along with profit-making operations, might be, we need to find out more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be a little misleading because it does say you have to be a live venue. But again, when I say that, you know, museums aren't considered live, they don't have live performances, you know, but they're part of this grant. And you can also be a talent rep, so you represent talent, live talent, you know, for other people. Or you could even be a promoter. So that's why it's live venue operators grant, because that's mm-hmm. the operator portion of it. So in order to apply for this, this is still not open to apply for. So a month after the bill has been signed, it's still not available to for anyone to apply, but it will be. And when it's available, It'll be online that you apply through directly through the SBA, SBA.gov website. And so I wanted to tell you a few specifics about the grant. So one is that if you are a theater or a live performing arts association or you have a live performing arts venue, then for those entities, you do have to have a audience space, so a fixed space where an audience would sit or stand. You have to have mixing equipment, a public address system, a lighting rig, and you have to have someone that does a couple of things, either works on sound, is a booker, a promoter, a stage manager, you have security, or you have a box office manager. So two of those things I just listed, and they don't have to be called that, they just have to do those roles. So, for example, when I mentioned that if you happen to be a bar or a bar and grill that has live entertainment several nights a week and you charge a cover charge for people to get in to see those people perform, that counts as a box office manager. So even though you don't officially have a box office, they are carrying out the role of, you know, taking tickets or taking money.
Right. It's the function that matters, not the title.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you also have to have you have to charge. So that's very important, unless you're a nonprofit. If you're a nonprofit, you don't have to charge for the performances. But if you are a for-profit entity, then that is definitely one of the criteria, is that you charge for most of the events. You can still have events that you don't charge for, but as long as you charge for most of them. And then here's the stickler that gets a few entities and kind of puts them out of the running for this grant, and that's that you have to have paid performers. Meaning most of the time and the majority of the people that are performing are paid. So the reason this will kick out some of the community theaters that might actually have a ticket office, they charge for it, they promote it, but it's all volunteers that do the performances. You know,
yep.
So now if they have individuals that they pay, and they pay most of their performers at least, then they would still be able to apply for this. But you do have to have paid performers, and then the performances have to be marketed in any way, shape, or form. So it doesn't really matter what the marketing is, as long as you did do marketing. So it can be all social media, it can be, you know, printed in the paper or on brochures or on flyers. It doesn't really matter. It can be on TV, radio. It doesn't have to be paid marketing. You just have to actually have marketed for the performances that you offer at that venue. So those are some of the criteria.
You know, this is really good to hear, Rebecca, and I'm sure that there are listeners who are involved with various organizations who are doing just as I was doing, listening to you and checking off the boxes in my mind. Yes, we qualify. Yes, we're doing this. Yes, this is us. Yes, this is us. In the symphony, and I'm sure that there are, so far, I mean, it looks really like this could really be helpful to us. And I'm sure there are many other organizations here who are in the same boat.
Right, exactly. And that's why they came out with this grant, is because there are so many live venues and other similarly operating, like museums, who just were so bad off during COVID and still are, because they're not able to open, or they're only able to open and function at such a small percentage of what they would typically be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if they are a museum, so for those museums, ears up, those museums out there, You cannot be for-profit. So if you are classified as a museum, but you are also classified as for-profit, then you cannot apply for this if you're a museum. So the museums that apply must be non-profit. Being a museum must be their principal activity, meaning, for example, if you're a university and you happen to have a small museum as part of one of the functions inside the university, that museum is not going to be able to apply because, you know, the principal activity at the university is education, not the museum. The museum is secondary. So it does have to be the principal activity. There has to be an indoor exhibition space that is or was subject to occupancy restrictions due to the pandemic. And that's pretty much every museum in the country. Yep. And then here's the stickler for museums. So for museums, you must have at least one room with fixed seating and regular programming. So it's that fixed seating that's causing some problems with some of the museums not being able to apply as the rules are currently written. So, for example, here in town in St. Joseph, you have like the Pony Express Museum, right?
Right.
But you think, okay, do you have fixed seating? Well, they have one little area that has benches. They are fixed seating. So does that qualify, right? It doesn't say how big the room has to be. It's just that it has fixed seating. But then you have museums like the Gore Psychiatric Museum, for example. There's no space in the Gore Museum that has fixed seating. And fixed, in the definition of the bill, is immobile. So, like, bolted down.
Right.
So right. When you have auditorium seating in a space like you do at the Albright Kemper Museum, for example, they have fixed seating in that auditorium, right?
Yep.
But then when you go out to the Nature Center, while they have a big room with regular programming and lots of chairs and tables, those chairs are not fixed. They're movable, and they can move them in and out. And so because of that, as the rules stand, that particular museum wouldn't be able to apply.
You know, it's unfortunately, because the function is the same, basically, but it's the way you carry out the function that is different. And in one case, it doesn't qualify. In another case, it does. And that's really not something you get to decide. You're just the one who has to administer it. It was decided, I guess, in Congress. Or in the rules-making process. That's the rule as it stands right now, right?
That's correct. And I honestly can't speak to why that's a rule or what they were thinking when they made that rule. but nonetheless, it's very specific that it has to be fixed seating, because it could have just said seating with regular programming available, but it didn't. They were very specific about wanting it to be fixed seating for a museum. So unless that changes before it opens for, you know, people to apply, that is how it stands now. Is that if you're a museum, you have to have fixed seating.
So let me ask you a question about what you're actually applying for. Are you applying for a particular sized grant, or are you applying for reimbursement of lost revenue? And it varies from application to application. What are you actually applying for?
Right. Excellent question. So here's the good news about this grant is you're not applying for reimbursement. What you are applying for is it's a set amount. So you can receive 45% of your gross earned revenues from 2019.
Oh,
so
wow.
Before the pandemic, yeah, it's a lot of money. And the maximum amount that any entity can receive is $10 million. So that should tell you how much money they're thinking that you can get. So if if your entity wasn't able to operate in 2020 or was very strictly operative in 2020, you missed out on a ton of revenues, and that makes it very hard to operate or even stay open. And I've personally talked to different live venue and museums that in our region who have that issue. They're like, if we didn't get the PPP or if we didn't get this, we would be out, like done.
Yeah.
They would be closed down. And so whether they could reopen or not at some time in the future, don't know. But that's what this grant is for. So what you're applying for is well worth making sure that you meet the criteria, because you can receive 45% of the gross earned revenue from 2019.
And this is not net, this is gross.
This is gross, yeah, big difference. Yeah, so this is before all of the expenses and all that good stuff. This is gross earned revenue. Now, there was a question that I had, because I gave a small webinar on this to like a group of five or six museum operators. And so one of the questions was earned revenue versus just gross receipts. So that is an important differentiation. So gross earned revenue means, earned means sales, okay? So anything you sold tickets, you sold merchandise, you sold T-shirts, whatever you sold memberships, all of that would be considered gross earned revenue.
Okay.
What is not considered earned is if you wrote a grant or you received sponsorships. So any additional grants that you receive, whether that's from the city or the feds or whoever you get those grants from, those grants don't count towards the gross earned revenue.
But let's say it's ticket sales or season tickets or some other kind of charge for an event.
Mm-hmm.
All of
that would count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So just think of gross earned revenues as sales. So anything you sold that came in your door in 2019, with this grant, you would be able to get 45% of that amount. So if you had gross earned revenues in 2019 of $100,000, this grant would be for $45,000.
Well, this is definitely something that's worth checking out. If you're
right,
yeah. I mean, if you think that it in any way, shape, or form you might qualify, you need to check this out. Can they call you for details, or is there an online place they can go to check it out?
Yeah, both ways is fine. They can definitely call me at 816-364-4105, or they can also go online. There's not quite as much detail online about it as what I can tell them, but there is some general information about it online at the sba.gov/coronavirus relief. So that's the website to go for more information.
So why is this, it's not available to apply for yet? Are they just working mm-hmm. through the paperwork, Rebecca? Is that the deal right now?
I think they are, because it's a brand new grant. So they're having to figure out what all the questions, you know, they're going to have to put together an application. And one of the criteria to apply during this first round, because there's going to be what they call three rounds. So the first round is going to be, whenever they do open, it's going to be for the first 14 days, only those venues that saw a 90% or greater reduction in revenue in 2020 will be able to apply. So that's for the first 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
The second 14 days, that round, so days 15 through 28, only those venues that show a 70% or greater reduction in revenues in 2020 will be able to apply. And then eventually there will be a third round, but there will actually be a month that goes by with nobody being able to apply before that third round opens up.
Okay. So is there any danger that the money that is appropriated for this will run out before they get to your category?
I don't believe it'll run out during the first two categories.
Okay.
But, you know, who's to say who all will apply? So we shall see. We shall see.
So when I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, I was just going to, I'm not sure how much time we have or if we have to break, but I was going to talk about what you can use the money for.
Yeah, that would be good. And let me just give you a heads up on the time, since we're not in the same room together here. We've got about three and a half minutes left.
Okay. Yeah. So let me explain what you can use the funds for.
Okay.
So again, this is a great grant because you can get 45% of gross earned revenues from 2019. And you can use it for pretty much anything you want, which makes it fantastic. So it is not as limited as say, like the PPP that a lot of people are familiar with. You can use it for anything except purchasing real estate, reinvesting the money, re-lending the money, or political contributions. So you can use it for anything else that you want to use it for. So any operating costs, anything that you need to use it for, you can.
And do you have to report back to the government on what you spent the money on?
You do. You do have to report back on what you spent it on, so you just need to keep your receipts, and you have a year from the time that you receive the funds in order to spend the money.
Can you use it to cover operating costs?
Absolutely. Okay. Operating costs, payroll, pay for insurance, anything you need.
So it's not just
marketing, advertising, everything.
Okay. It sounds like a pretty liberal, open-ended kind of thing.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So when you had the webinar earlier, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I think you had it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, and you had, what, about six or so operators from St. Joseph attended the webinar?
Yes.
What sort of interest did they, were they like, wow, this is a pretty good program?
Oh, yes, definitely. They were very happy about it. And the question that everybody has so far with this particular grant is, can I get the PPP and this grant? Excellent question, and the answer is no. So if they had a PPP last year, that's fine.
Okay.
That won't affect them at all.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a second round of PPP now that people can get. And so if they think that they're going to apply for this live venue grant, then they should not apply for the PPP. Because for the vast majority of people in our region, at least, this grant with 45% of your gross earned revenues, that's going to be a lot more than 2 months worth of payroll for most entities. So plus you can use it on so much more stuff than the PPP as well.
Yeah.
So
that's a terrific program, Rebecca. I'm really glad that you brought this to our attention. I know you've been talking about it around the community, but this will help get the word out also. This is really something.
Yeah, it is. And I just wanted to make sure that people, you know, you have a great listening audience, and I, you know, so if anybody out there hears this and maybe you're on the board of a museum or a live performing, or even if it's a place that you wish was open again, let them know that this is available. Like, talk to the owners or whoever and say, hey, do you know that this grant is coming and you might want to apply?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they can be closed, but if they're going to reopen, if they get this grant, they can still apply, even if they're currently closed, as long as they plan to reopen.
And if you have any questions at all, they can call you. Give your number again, Rebecca.
Sure. It's 816-364-4105.
Rebecca, thanks for talking with us. It's been great.
Thank you, Barry.